Good morning. This is the Faith Builders program coming to you from Oasis Christian Center, a family church in Smith Station, Alabama. We invite you to listen to Pastors Rock and Sharon Edmonds as they minister the Word of God to us. Our church is a non-denominational Word of Faith church. We hope that this program is a blessing to you and that you will tell your friends and relatives to tune in. Now here are Pastors Rock and Sharon.
Praise the Lord. So glad to be in the house of the Lord this morning. I know you are too. God is so good. Amen. And we want to thank all of you for coming today and you that are watching by Facebook. We are honored for you to be watching our service today, and we know that the Lord is going to bless. Amen. His Spirit is here in a mighty way today.
Amen.
It's here in a strong, strong way today.
Amen. Amen.
So I'm excited about what God's going to do. Amen.
Amen.
We're expecting today, aren't we?
Amen.
Expecting something great from the Lord, because God, where He's here, when He's in your midst, He's going to do something great. Amen. So we are expecting that. Praise God. So before I turn it over to Pastor this morning, I'm going to speak a word of a blessing over you. Do you like blessings?
Amen.
Amen. Amen. I think we all like blessings. I know we do. So in the name of Jesus, I declare you are filled with God's will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. His will is your prosperity. God delights in your prosperity. He gives you power to get wealth, that He may establish His covenant on the earth. God has given you all things pertaining to life and godliness, and you are well able to possess all that God has provided for you. God is your unfailing, unlimited source of supply. The blessings of the Lord overtake you. As you give, it is given to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. As you honor the Lord with your substance and the first fruits of your increase, your barns are filled with plenty. You are like a tree planted by the rivers of water. You bring forth fruit in your season, and whatever you do will prosper. Your bank accounts, investments, health, relationships flourish. And the blessings of the Lord overtake you in every area of your life. The blessings of the Lord makes you rich, and He adds no sorrow with it. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Praise God. Praise God.
Glory to God.
Praise God.
He is an awesome God.
Praise amen. God.
Turn over to Pastor this time.
I think I'm going to just ask you all to put your hands this way again. And I'm going to just lead us in prayer. Father, we just plead the blood of Jesus over the rest of this service. And I just thank you that the eyes of our understanding are enlightened according to the hope of your calling. I thank you for revelation knowledge. I thank you that the word of the Lord will have free course in our midst. I thank you for strong utterance and strong anointing. And that your people make a strong drawing on the anointing of God this day. And I thank you for answers coming in your presence. I thank you, Holy Spirit, this word gets deep, deep, deep inside of us today as we draw it out. And I thank you, Father God, your people are drawing the word out of us this day. And we thank you for all that you'll do in this service. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. That was a great testimony, Tanya. Great testimony. That's funny. I kept having it in my spirit. I was going to get Pastor Sharon to text you and ask you if you would do a testimony for Wednesday night, right after the service, where we've been filming them. Well, she don't have to do that now because she's going to use this one from this morning. And she can use it for Faith Builders. That's awesome. Awesome. Ask, if you will, to get your Bibles and go to 3 John. 3 John. Let's see. Chapter 5 of 3 John. Thank you. Thank you. That's what I was waiting on. Thank you. Thank you. There's only one chapter in 3 John. hallelujah. 3 John 1 and verse number 2. How about that? Beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospereth. Now, I wish above all things that you prosper and be in health, even as your soul prospers. Even as your soul prospers. I wish above all things. So the Word is telling us it's God's will for us to prosper. But everyone's soul is not ready for it. So God won't allow everyone to enter into it. Let me let that soak in for a second. God won't allow everybody to enter into prosperity because their soul is not prospering to the place that they can handle it. He won't allow it. I wouldn't allow if I had a one-year-old child, I wouldn't put them behind the wheel of my car with the car running. I wouldn't do that because they can't handle it. They can't handle the power. They can't handle the blessing. Do you understand? It would kill them. I would never do that. God would never do that to us. He longs to bless us. There's so many things He wants to give us and help us and bless us, but we're not to the place of maturity, prosperity in our soul. We don't have prosperous souls the way He wants us to have. I'm not saying we're not prosperous at all in our souls, because we are, and we're growing in it. We grow every day in it. So the question is, can God trust us with prosperity? Can we handle wealth? Will God still be first if you were very, very prosperous? Not everyone can be trusted with wealth. Can you pass the money test? So we know it's God's will for us to prosper. We know it's His will for us to be in health, even as our soul prospers. But everyone's soul is not ready for the prosperity that God longs to give us. Now I want to change that. I want to make sure my soul is ready. I want to keep making my soul ready. I want to keep making those adjustments to get my soul ready for what God wants me to have. So many times through the years, I'm not thinking of a specific instance, but so many instances through the years as a pastor, I've had people come up to me, especially people from the outside. They'll come in for a service or two and they'll say, "Well, Pastor, I tell you what, I support you. And I tell you what, if I win that lottery, I'm going to build you a church. I'm going to build you a brand new church. You're not even going to have to remodel where you're at. I'm going to build you a brand new church." Now, you know, I try to be courteous, and I generally am, and I don't say what I'm really thinking, because I'm thinking, you a lying dog. You probably, you're not even tithing now. Hang on. And you're probably not giving offerings now. And there's not a chance in this world, in this earth, if you were blessed with a windfall of money, that you're just going to suddenly give 10% in an offering to the house of God. You're not, because your soul is not there at that spot. Your soul is not prosperous enough. You're going to fill it with everything your selfish desires ever had in your life. You're going to buy a yacht and you ain't even know how to do a yacht. You'd have to have somebody. You know what I'm saying? This is good. I'm telling you, this is good. So, God is testing us in little amounts. He's testing us in little things. People that are faithful to tithe and give offerings in their paycheck week after week, they're the very same ones, when a big amount comes to them, they'll still give tithes and offerings. They'll never think twice about it. Why? Because their soul has been prospering all this time, all these weeks, all these months, all these years. Their soul is knowing, "God, You're my provider. It's You, it's not me. It's not my ability. It's not my education. It's not my strength. It's not because I'm so smart. It's because of You. That's the only reason I have what I have. That's the only reason I have the paycheck that I have. And I'm showing You, I know it's You, because I'm giving You 10% in an offering. I'm doing that because I'm recognizing it comes from You and nowhere else." And so you're so prosperous, you've done it week after week. You've done it when it was hard. You've done it when it was easy. You've done it when it looked like there's no way on this earth. Thank you, Ish. Ish, I don't know what we'd do without you. I tell you what, thank you so much. Thank you so much. You've been faithful in little. And when you're faithful in little, week after week, month after month, that's a test. The test of small things. If you pass the test of small things, your soul gets more prosperous. And God can trust you with larger things. You'll be faithful no matter how big the check is. Excuse me? Because you pass the test of little things. Now God can trust you with bigger things. 10% in an offering. That's what God asked for. But the Bible says in Malachi, We've robbed him. How have we robbed him? In tithes and in offerings. We kind of run past that. And a lot of people will say, well, you know, I tithe. I give to the Lord. I give him 5%. That's what I feel like is enough. It don't matter what you feel like. It don't matter what your opinion is. And you're not actually tithing if you're just giving him less than 10%. I'm just telling some stuff today. You understand? You're not even giving an offering if you've given the 10% until you've given the 10%. Okay. God wants to make sure His blessings are not going to hurt us. We're not going to hurt ourselves with them. We're not going to put Him on the back burner of our life. We have so much prosperity. I'll give you an example. There have been people through the years that they came to church and they didn't have a way to come to church. And somebody would go pick them up. Just out of the goodness and the kindness of their heart, they'd go pick them up. Week after week, somebody would pick them up. I mean, I've seen this happen for months and months at a time. And then, supernaturally, they'd be blessed with a vehicle. And they could come. And they'd come a week or two, and then they're gone. Why? Because they can go wherever they want to when they got their own vehicle. They're not prosperous enough to have a car. Hello? Are you prosperous enough to have some money in your account or no? Oh, okay. Now, y'all gonna let me meddle or y'all just gonna... Y'all gotta draw it now. I'm gonna do some meddling. I want to meddle today. I really do. Because I feel it in my bones. I got the meddling spirit in my mind. The pastor thing wants to come out and it wants to come out kind of meddling. You understand? A lot of people want to go on vacation and they can't pay their bills. They can't pay their rent. They can't pay the house payment. Can't pay the car payment. Can't pay the utilities. But they're going to go on vacation for a week and then they're going to come back. And then they're going to try to borrow money from you, your relative, your their friend. You need to hook me up. You need to give me some money. Because I tell you, that landlord, I tell you what, he's just not fair. I just don't know what his problem is. His problem is you spending money, you wasting the money that God blessed you with. You're not prosperous enough in your soul when the money was in your hands to pay your needs. Not your wants, your needs first. If you're not prosperous enough, then God can't bless you farther than that spot. That's good preaching. I don't care what you say about it. It ties God's hands to bless us financially in a greater way. He wants to. He longs to. But He can't at this time because our soul, our mind, will, and emotions is not prosperous enough to handle it. So can you pass the money test? Proverbs 21 and 20 in the Passion. In wisdom's house. Now this is the Word of God. I didn't write this. In wisdom's house, you'll find delightful treasures and the oil of the Holy Spirit. Now, I'm reading verbatim. But the stupid... I'm reading this straight out of Passion. I didn't make this up. I didn't change the wording. But the stupid squander what they've been given. Let me go again. This is Proverbs 10:16 in the Passion. That was Proverbs 21 and 20. It says, the lovers of God earn their wages for a life of righteousness, but the wages of the wicked are squandered on a life of sin. Squandered. Proverbs 20 and 21 in the Passion. If an inheritance is gained too early in life, it will not be blessed in the end. What does that mean? It means if you get an inheritance when you're too young and your soul is not ready for it yet, you don't have the wisdom you need to handle it and you'll squander it. It might have lasted you the rest of your life, but you've squandered it, and God can't trust you with any more. Thank you very much. Some people think that their paycheck is an inheritance, so they squander it. Let that sink in. Look at your neighbor and say, I hope he's not talking about you. Squander means to waste something, especially money or time. Misuse, to blow. To spend extravagantly or foolishly. To waste with reckless abandon. Do you know someone who can't... If this is you, don't say it. I'm just giving you a heads up. Do you know someone who can't keep $10 in their pocket? They must spend it. If that's you, just look around. I don't know who this could be. I have no idea. See, there's a lot of people like that. that money burns a hole in their pocket because their soul is not prosperous enough to not spend that money. God can't bless them as much as He would like to because their soul is not prosperous enough to handle it. This is good stuff, y'all. You can't feel sorry for them and give to them. If you do, you're hindering their spiritual progress. See, some people, their mind needs to be renewed. Okay, now you could live, you know, a lot of people live paycheck to paycheck. And I understand there could be a season in any of our lives. There have been seasons in our life where we live like that. But it was a season. It wasn't a lifetime. Amen. Some people, paycheck to paycheck is a lifetime. It's not a season of, you know, I lost my job or this happened or that happened or this big expense. No, it's the thought process. And their mind's going to have to be renewed with the Word of God. And all the help in the world is not going to change them because they've got wrong thinking. And their thinking's going to have to be renewed. And it affects how much God can prosper you. So, that's good. That's what I'm saying. Soul prosperity is when your mind begins to think right. Your mind is prosperous when it starts to think in line with the Word of God. Now, a lot of times, we feel like we passed a lot of the test, and yet we still feel sorry for people. And we give to them because we feel sorry for them. And you may enable someone to buy more drugs because you feel sorry for them and give them money. Well, look, they're going to be put out of their house. They won't have anywhere to live. They have no food. But they blew the money that God gave them, and now you're fixing to give them money, and they're not going to use it to buy food. They're not going to use it to pay the landlord or to pay their rent, pay their mortgage. They're going to use it to blow it on drugs because they're bound by it. So you're hindering the work of God. You're enabling them. I know a situation where a man was bailed out two different times by his relatives. They bailed him out, helped him. Then he got himself in the same situation the third time. Relatives didn't have enough money to bail him out. He got so fiery mad at those relatives. He didn't speak to them for years. It wasn't the relatives' fault. It was his fault. And you know what? I believe God did it. God did it so that he couldn't look to those relatives anymore. He had to look to God. God will get it where you can't look to your friends no more. Your friends see you coming, they say, I got to go. I'm gone somewhere. Because they know what you're calling about. They know what you're coming over for. Pull the shades. No, we're not home. Sorry. And it could hinder our own prayers by giving money or doing things because we feel sorry for somebody. I'm not saying you never give to see anybody. We should be very generous givers. But you need to be very discerning on who you give money to. You may be hindering something. You've been praying for somebody and your prayers are being hindered because they don't have to go to God. They go to you. Thank you very much. That was so good. You almost missed it. Thank you, Crystal. I don't know where you're at, but that was something Crystal put on there. She put, pastor's always saying that was so good. You almost missed it. She put that on Facebook the other day. I do say that a lot, Crystal. But it always happens. I don't know. You can't feel obligated to help somebody. You've got to feel led to help somebody. Feeling sorry is not a leading. Okay, look at your neighbor and say, feeling sorry for someone is not a leading. It's not. You could be led by the Spirit because the Spirit may say, wait a minute, they're changing their ways. I know they did this. They blew the money I gave them. But they have repented and they're turning around. And the Holy Spirit could lead you in a certain circumstance to do it. And you could discern that leading. But somebody that's habitual, you'd also discern that. I know me and Pastor Sharon, we've had this a few times. I know one time we were in Opelika, we were filming a Faith Builders. And this guy, we were in this little, it was kind of an open area. It was a courtyard area. And we were in there and we had everything set up. And we were just fixing to start filming. He walked up to me. He actually got a little too close to me, personal space wise. Y'all understand what I'm talking about? Yeah. And he said he wanted some food. And I said, you know, there's restaurants on this side, that side. There's a restaurant really not even 50 foot from where we were at. And I said, we'll get you food, whatever you want. We'll get it for you. And he said, well, I want it from across town. I'll just get it myself. And I said, where across town are you talking about? And he named some place that, And I'm pretty familiar with the area. And I said, we'll just drive you to it. We'll take you over there. He said, no, I want to do it my own self. He wanted my money. He was conning me, you understand? And I said, we're not going to be able to help you. Made him mad as fire. And I'm talking about, as soon as I said it, I saw his countenance changed. And he was upset. And then somebody else walked into the courtyard. I believe God had him walk in the courtyard because I have this impression that he's going to knock me in the head and get my money. You understand? Because they're going to take it from me because their motive is not pure. Can you understand? You've got to be very careful and discerning who you help and who you don't help. Okay, now I'm going to try to give you balance. We were in another situation, me and Pastor Sharon, and we were approached at Captain D's. It was at Captain D's in Phoenix City. And this man said, I hadn't ate in a while, and I would really like some food. Would you get me some food? I said, do you eat Captain D's? He said, I sure do. I said, I'm going to buy you a good meal. And we bought him a good meal and gave it to him. Now, that man was real. He never asked for money. He didn't want anything else. He wasn't running a con. You understand? He was appreciative. You know, that's one of the things you're going to tell when somebody's not appreciative. It's a signal that they're not right. And the prosperity in your soul, you're going to be able to notice it. You got to go by that. You can't. The devil would like for you to give to everybody that gives you a story. Well, you know, my car's broke down. And I live 200 miles away, and I can't get back. And I really, it's just broke out. It's just out of gas. I just need some gas money. And I remember one time we were approached at a meeting like that, and I said, "Man, I had like $4 or $5 in my pocket. And I was going to give him the $4 or $5." And he said, "That ain't going to get me down the road nowhere." And I said, "It sure ain't, because it ain't going to get you nowhere now." You understand? I keep my money. I keep my money. If I'd asked the Holy Spirit first, I already felt funny. You know what I'm saying in your spirit. Because somebody that's for real will think, well, you know, if that's God, at least I can get further enough down the road, I can get more help if I need to. See, sometimes we have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. In other words, we have a desire to help people and to do the right thing, but not according to knowledge, God's knowledge and God's wisdom. And it's a sign that our soul is not prosperous enough. And so God actually has to hinder our blessings that are coming to us because we're being led by feeling sorry for people and not by being led by God to do it. Y'all still with me?
Yeah.
Just because somebody approaches you, and then I'm going to call Pastor Sharon, about a need and you don't take care of it, it doesn't mean that you're not walking in the love of God, because that's what the devil will tell you. Sometimes love must be tough. People can't put their eyes on you to meet their needs. If they do, they won't look to God. Feeling sorry for somebody is not a leading, and it doesn't help them. What if you feel sorry for somebody and you help them and they get drugs with it and they die of an overdose? Or you help them with it and they go wreck a car and kill somebody? It's on us. Pastor Sharon. Glory to God. Glory to God.
Praise God. That was awesome, Pastor. Awesome word. Praise God. And I'm going to start out with the same scripture Pastor did. But I'm going to read it in the Amplified version. It says, "Beloved, I pray that in every way you may succeed and prosper and be in good health physically, just as I know your soul prospers spiritually. For I was greatly pleased when some of the brothers came from time to time and testified to your faithfulness to the truth of the gospel message, that is, how you are walking in the truth. I have no greater joy than this, to hear that my spiritual children are living their lives in the truth." Amen. So, you know, this is, Paul was actually writing a letter to his good friend, Gaius. And, you know, he was encouraged by the walk of God that he saw in his friend's life. But, you know, the Lord wants all of us to prosper in every area of their lives. There's certain things that we have to do to gain the prosperity that belongs to us, or that the Lord wants us to have. So soul prosperity is key and to having that prosperity in every area of our life. So, you know, this scripture, Gaius, that Paul was saying to Gaius, he said that Gaius is faithful to the truth. So he was a faithful man. Amen. That is one key right there, faithfulness. Be faithful to your God. Amen. Then it says that he was walking in the truth. So it's important to walk wherever you go, whatever you're doing, to walk, amen, in the truth of God. That is to walk in his word. And then it says that he is living his life in the truth. So we are to live our life, every part of our lives, when we go to work, when we go to the grocery store, when we go to the gas station, when we go out to eat, every part of our life, whatever we do, we are to live our lives in the Word of God. So his soul was prosperous. He was a prosperous man because he was living his life according to the Word of God. And so, you know, our soul is made up of our mind, our will, and our emotions. That's our soul. And so, so we have to align ourselves, amen. We have to align our mind and our will and our emotions with the Word of God. So, you know, for example, say someone says something that is offensive to you. Well, our mind says, I'm offended. And then, you know, your will might say, I want to punch their lights out. Amen. And then your emotions might be, I'm hurt, I'm upset, you know, or I'm angry. That's your emotions, you know, speaking. But the prosperous soul responds by the word. Now, I'm not saying this is an easy thing, but as our soul prospers, amen, we're more responsive. We respond more readily to the Word of God. In 1 Corinthians 13 and 5, it says, God's love in us pays no attention to a suffered wrong.
That's right.
Somebody offends us, the more prosperous we get in our soul, then our reaction or our response will be more according to the Word of God.
Yes.
Amen. So we want to get that Word. We don't want to just be hearers. We want to be doers of the Word of God. We want to get that Word on the inside of us. Amen. So, you know, we are dying to our old man, aren't we? So, you know, an old man wants to creep back up every once in a while, and we have to say, no, no, my spiritual man is going to take over, amen, not my old man. Romans 12, verses 1 and 2, and this is in the Message translation. It says, so here's what I want you to do. God helping you, thank God he helps us, amen. God helping you take every day, ordinary life, you're sleeping, eating, going to work, and walking around life, and place it before God as an offering. Wow, that's pretty strong. Place it in before the Lord as an offering. Everything that we do in life, embracing what God does for you, the best thing you can do for him. Don't become so well adjusted to your culture that you fit into it without even thinking. Instead, fix your attention on God. You'll be changed from the inside out. And that's what God wants, doesn't he? He wants to change us from the inside out. He's made us a new creation. And so he wants that new creation to show up on the outside of us. So readily recognize what he wants from you and quickly respond to it. Unlike the culture around you, always dragging you down to its level of immaturity. God brings the best out of you, develops well-formed maturity in you. So that is what God is wanting for us. He's wanting us to be well mature. Amen. So, you know, what is a prosperous soul? What is it actually? It's a person who thinks according to the Word of God. Praise God. And then a person who does according to the Word of God. We think according to the Word of God, and we do according to the Word of God. And then it responds. A prosperous person responds, or soul responds according to the Word of God. Amen. We are reflecting God's Word. We're reflecting God when we do this. But soul prosperity is a renewed mind, as Pastor said, and by the Word of God. And a prosperous soul is ruled by the Word of God. We're not ruled by our feelings, but ruled by the Word of God. Our minds and our wills and our emotions are ruled by God's Word, not by our feelings or what we want to do. But why does the Lord want our soul to prosper? You know, if your soul doesn't prosper, you're not going to prosper spiritually. It's going to hold you back. Uh-huh. It's going to tie you up. Uh-huh. You know, it can put you in bondage. And so, you know, He wants our soul to prosper in every area. So, you know, God loves for His children to prosper. It's His will. It's His desire. He longs for His children to prosper. And so, you know, that's good news, isn't it? I like to prosper, don't you? You know, God is so good. You know, He wants that for us. And it says He wants you to have the greatest joy. Uh-huh. He wants the best for you. Amen. He wants you to have the greatest peace in your life. You know, He wants for you to have the best of everything, every part of your life. He wants you to have the best. He wants your finances blessed. He wants your health blessed. He wants you to have the desires of your heart. Amen. Amen. He wants your family blessed. He wants your children blessed. Amen. And He wants your job to be blessed. And so, you know, we want to do what we can to show the goodness of God through prosperity. Uh-huh. Now, God is a good God. The more we align with His Word, the more prosperous we will be. You know, too many times the enemy will tell you, you know, you're not gonna have any happiness. You're not gonna have any fun. You know, it's not gonna be a good life when you live for God, because He's gonna keep you from having a fun in life. But that is a lie of the enemy. That's what he tells everybody, and then he'll go to the other side and say, well, you can't live that life. You know, you can't measure up to so-and-so. You know, we all have a so-and-so in our family that has prayed us in. Amen. And so, you know, we can't look at other people and say, well, I can't be like that. But you can be according to what the Word of God says you can be. Amen. Because we're trying to look like Jesus. We're trying to look like Him through His Word. Above all else, Pastor brought out, the Lord wants us to prosper. Yes. Above all else, everything, above everything, God wants us to prosper. Yes. And praise God, I'll end it with this scripture, Psalms 1:1-3, and this is in the Passion Translation. It says, what delight comes to the one who follows God's ways? Delight. Amen. He won't walk in the step with the wicked, nor share the sinner's way, nor be found sitting in the scorner's seat. His passion is to remain true to the word of I am. On the true revelation of light, he will be standing firm like a flourishing tree planted by God's design, deeply rooted by the brooks of bliss, bearing fruit in every season of life. He is never dry, never fainting, ever blessed, ever prosperous. Amen. That's the one who walks with the Word of God. See, so many people think, why is it so important to have the Word of God, or to feast on the Word of God. I like to feast on the Word. As Pastor said in the past, Pastor and I will get so excited when we read a scripture in another translation or something that really jumps out of out of us, and we're just so excited about, we're going back and forth about the scripture with each other. And you know, the Word of God is what's going to change you. Uh-huh. It's not going to be, our friends aren't going to change us, our family's not going to change us, our job's not going to change us, you know, in a good way toward the Lord, uh-huh. toward God, uh-huh. but it's His Word that's going to change us. And as the scripture said, He wants us to be changed inside and out.
That's right.
Amen. Inside and out. And I just want to say that, you know, a lot of people say, well, you don't have to go to church to be saved. Well, that is true. You don't have to go to church to be saved. I did get saved in church. Most of the people do get saved in church. I'd say there's a very few that get saved outside of church. And a lot of people say, well, I can live with God, live for God and not go to church. Well, good for you. I can't. I can't. Amen. And I've been living for God for, I don't know, 40-something years. But I cannot go without being in church faithfully. Faithfully. Amen. So it is important. You know, we're not going to get changed inside out by not going to church, by not being under the Word of God. Amen. There is a different atmosphere. I guess that's the way I would say. There's a different atmosphere when you come together. You know, forsake not the assembling of yourselves together. But when you come together, there is a certain atmosphere where the Lord works and the Lord moves and the Lord speaks to you at a higher place, a higher level than He does in any other way.
Amen.
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 Praise God. Let's give God a hand clap this morning for His Word. Praise the Lord. He is good. Hallelujah. And before I turn it back over to Deborah, I want us to just go to the Lord in prayer. If there's anybody this morning that has not accepted the Lord as your Lord and Savior, I'm speaking to those that are here in the sanctuary and those that are watching by Facebook or whatever media you're watching us by. And you would like to ask Jesus Christ to be Lord and Savior of your life. Just pray this prayer after me. Lord Jesus, I ask you to forgive me of my sins. Come into my heart. Be my Lord and Savior. I surrender my life to you. I desire to walk in your ways. I thank you, Father. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Praise God. Give God a hand clap of praise today. Amen. And if you're watching today or if you're here in the sanctuary and you feel like you're not where you used to be in the Lord, you have asked the Lord to be your Savior today, but you're just not walking where you want to be or where you once did walk. And if you want to rededicate your life to the Lord, just pray this prayer with me. Lord Jesus, I ask you to help me to walk with you, to walk in your word. I surrender my life. I rededicate my life to you. In Jesus' name, amen. Hallelujah. Deborah, you can come up. Praise God. God is awesome, isn't he? He's so good. And he desires for you to prosper in every area of your life. God bless you.
We thank you for listening to today's program. We believe that Jesus died for our sins and that he has sanctified us for eternity. We desire that all come to the knowledge of him as their personal Savior. If you have accepted Jesus as Savior through this broadcast, or if you wish more information, we would love to hear from you. Contact us at Oasis Christian Center, Post Office Box 246, Smith Station, Alabama 36877, phone 334-520-3333. 7538 or email at oasischristiancenter@ctvea.net. You can visit our website at oasisfamilychurch.net. For those of you on Facebook, we do have Facebook Live every Wednesday and Sunday, Wednesday night 7 p.m. and on Sunday at 10:30. You may reach us by Oasis Christian Center, a family church, Smith Station, Alabama. We'd also like to give you the opportunity to sow a seed into the ministry. You may text to give at 334-274-7885. Online giving, aciionlinegiving.com/4832. Or you may mail to Post Office Box 246, Smith Station, Alabama, 36877. Until next time, God bless you, and Jesus is Lord.